Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 254th episode of the Quarantine Cast, recorded on April 1st, 2021. It is with a heavy heart that I report to all of you that Mario has died. Passed away, surrounded by loved ones. Choose not to disturb them at this time. We can say, however, that in a bold move, Nintendo has made Waluigi the new forward-facing mascot for the company. Luigi could not be reached for comment, but the era of the Big Dick Bandit has begun.
Yeah, I was going to say, in the original press release, it was a very interesting move for them to show so much bulge on right? The new company mascot. Like, just trouser snake running right down the pant leg. It's a different direction, you know. It's a new era.
I took a closer look. I actually think they airbrushed that a little bit. They tapered that off.
Yeah. No, that's fair. Good for Waluigi. But
good for all of us, really.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. Kind of fuck Mario.
Right.
Like, I know it's a controversial opinion and respect the dead, but like, kind of fuck that guy.
Yeah.
You know. Let's dance on some graves here.
He's been in the limelight for too long. And so unearned, you know?
Yeah.
Mm.
What an uninteresting mascot. Ever since he was Jumpman. Just no real qualities to him.
No.
So.
No.
And how did he die? Asbestos inhalation that caused long-term lung cancer? Wow. Someone shouldn't have been a plumber. I guess it's your fault.
Should have worn a mask, Mario.
Yeah, Mario was an avid anti-masker, and though he did not die of COVID, it does speak to his laissez-faire attitude around health risks. And so, you know what? You get what you fucking deserve.
I wonder if Pauline's going to show up at the funeral. How awkward that will be between her and Princess Peach.
Yeah.
It'll be rough.
Rosalina. All the girls he's loved before. Toadette. I mean, Toadette's going to deliver the eulogy, and I think she's going to spill some tea because, we all know what happened there.
I mean, it left this part out, but Mario is succeeded by his 17 children. So, you know, that legacy will continue on.
Yeah. It's like Donkey Kong with the Lario and Barrio.
Have you seen any particularly good, which is to say bad, corporate April Fool's shticks so far?
Yeah, I saw the one that Andrew sent. I think that's it. The Zoom Battle Royale thing. Didn't really see much else, honestly. I hate fucking April Fool's.
Right?
Always have.
It's not
a stupid ass holiday.
It's dumb.
Yeah. Oh. Much like Mario. I thought you were going in a different direction. I thought you were going to say Andrew.
Oh.
And then I was like, wait, that's kind of cheating, because the reason that we're doing the Duocast instead of with Andrew is because you had April Fool's bits. But if your bit was that Andrew died, we could have done that bit with you later. So it's not really your bit, but no, I get it. It's a different bit.
It's more of a format than a bit. I don't know.
This is a format. Show format. Pretend that one of the co-hosts has died. It was pretty serious. I was like, wow, you're going for it.
Yeah.
This is something that's kind of believable. Not completely, but a little bit.
Busted out those 4 years of high school forensics chops.
There you go.
Yeah.
It is with a heavy heart and a dutiful sense of not entitlement. Fuck. Yeah, I see. I fucked it up. What is that? The opposite of entitlement, where you feel like you owe something to someone else.
Not humility.
No.
Debt.
Service?
Maybe service? I can see that working.
Like, if you owe something to the audience. Yeah.
Obligation.
Ooh! Perfect. That's exactly what I'm looking for. Yeah. Dutiful sense of obligation to report to you that Mario R. Vermicelli has passed away, surrounded by loved ones, succumbed to his long battle with complications from the Panuma surgery.
His envy of Waluigi finally did take its toll.
I don't think it was envy. I mean, now that we've seen Waluigi installed, I think this was Nintendo's intended direction for a while. Mario saw the writing on the wall and did the only thing that he thought would keep him in the limelight for even 1 second longer. And unfortunately, that's of course what killed him.
I think, is the trick with doing like a somber newscaster voice just Walter Cronkite cadence? I think that's what we're getting towards.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the sketch? I don't remember. It wasn't Walter Cronkite. It was one of the other old news guys. Tom Brokaw, I think it was.
Oh, and
it was Dana Carvey as Tom Brokaw doing clips for In Case Gerald Ford died. and like he was, you know, away on vacation or something, so that he could be the one to break the news and stuff.
Yeah.
And just getting more and more specific because they didn't know how he would die. And it was like, Gerald Ford passed away today as the result of an unfortunate hang glider accident. Like, just like getting completely ridiculous. It's a great sketch. I think it might be from the Dana Carvey show. I don't know.
I think, I think we had talked about that previously, how a lot of bigger news platforms have those at the ready for older significant persons of note. I do know that some journalistic outlets kind of have been put on blast for preparing those articles in missing persons cases and that kind of thing.
Or them just like leaking. Like the death article leaking with like, you know, blanks where the dates and stuff like that would be filled in. Like, and it's just like the template is already completely written.
Yep.
They have like the full eulogy and like all that stuff written out and everything. So, yeah. No, I mean, it makes sense.
And I get that is very much towing the line between using a person's death to get clicks, but then also like the duty to inform people about this as timely as possible. I see both sides of this one.
I mean, the chasing of clicks can't be like a universal sin because that's the way that it's the news is going to work, you know. Like it's the same thing as capitalism. Like the chasing of profits cannot be a universal sin in our current system because that's literally the only motivation. It's the only thing that you can do.
Yeah.
So without changing the system, without either redistributing wealth in terms of capitalism or funding, you know, these news outlets a lot better, there's no real way to avoid that. So
yeah
is what it is. It's just kind of the way the world works, man.
We're puppets being pulled by the invisible hand of fate, but in a bad way, not in a cool. Some people said this was cool, but no, it's terrifying, actually.
Who's the puppet master? We're all just chemicals. Everything we would do is already preordained by the universe. You can look at it whatever way you want.
Every 7 years, you're a new person because your cells are different.
Yeah. You're the ship of Theseus, but always.
My favorite meme to come out of that is, what is the ship of Theseus, but the ship of Theseus enduring?
God damn it.
Yeah. Fucking. Nothing gonna get you back on the MCU train?
No. I'm done.
All right. That's fair.
I'm good.
All right.
I enjoyed it. I got a full story.
Oh, yeah.
So I am good to go on the old MCU.
Open and shut.
Happy.
Tight ribbon, no loose ends. Good to go.
I mean, some loose ends. Like, they left Endgame with a little bit of, like, ooh, what do we do now? Like, okay, let's start rebuilding and blah, blah, blah. So.
That's most epics. I get, the MCU is an epic at this point. That's most epics where it's like, and then they lived their lives and figured shit out is how a lot of those end.
I guess I don't know enough about epics. And then they lived their lives and things happened, but we're not going to tell you about them.
Yeah. I mean, that's the trick to grander storytelling is this is but a snapshot in their a group of people's very interesting lives and that they continue to be doing awesome shit later on, both to let the user's imagination kind of fill that in and also, man, if I ever want to go back to this, I gave myself an opening.
Doesn't it feel a little lazy, though? Doesn't
yeah.
It? Just slightly, like when you're like, oh, yeah, whoa. Oh, it's so cool. All the other stuff they do is so cool. If I told you about it, you'd go crazy. Like, it's the same thing as the Lovecraft. Like, oh, I can't even describe it or else I'd go crazy. They're so cool. Like,
I forget. Does the Lord of the Rings end with them sailing towards the afterlife or to the new world?
After, well, it's both.
Oh. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. The okay. afterlife in The Lord of the Rings is a new continent that doesn't exist on the same plane of existence. Like, it's not them just, like, sailing in a normal boat off to an island somewhere. It's like they're leaving this plane and going to another plane, which is, yeah, like a new world that has been formed by elves and other creatures that will live immortal on the elves and like the biggest friends to elves will live immortal on this new world while Middle Earth becomes dominated by men. And then in theory, like magic continues to die out and becomes eventually where we are today is the idea of Lord of the Rings lore.
Hey, these guys destroyed one of the most evil artifacts in the world. They can hang. they're cool. They can come.
That's pretty much the idea. Huh. And there's been a few others throughout history, non-immortals that have sailed to the Westlands.
Mm.
But you know, it kind of varies. But yeah, I mean they that was closed.
All right.
That was a closed book. They ended that shit. So. What are they going to do then? Oh, wait, a prequel. A prequel following Aragorn. That's right. They're doing that now. God damn it. Oh, wait, a Hobbit trilogy, which makes no sense.
Is the Amazon stuff that's coming out eventually maybe going to be concurrent with current events of the Hobbit Lord of the Rings universe, or is that going to be a sequel or it
doesn't sound like it. I mean, a lot of the characters will be alive when Aragorn is a ranger, a member of the Dunedain.
Mm-hmm.
Cause Aragorn's only like I forgot, like 60 or 70, I think, when Lord of the Rings takes place.
Okay.
So, and meanwhile, yeah, like Bilbo's 110. I think Frodo's like 40.
Elves in the Lord of the Rings aren't immortal, but they're like,
yeah,
they are. Oh, okay.
Yeah. They're full blown immortal.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. That was the whole subplot with Aragorn and, oh shit. See, I got to turn in my Lord of the Rings fan card. Aragorn, why? No, Arwen, I fucking... God damn it, I'm so terrible. The whole subplot with Aragorn and Arwen was, yeah, her deciding to be a mortal being so that she can be with her love, like her true love in this world, basically. So that was like the tragic romantic storyline, is that like she was half elf, half human, and if she wanted to be with Aragorn and live in Aragorn's world, then she would have to give up the part of her that was immortal. So it's like... choosing death, because that also death includes living the life that you want to live and stuff like that. So
I'm not super familiar with Lord of the Rings, but I forgot that. Why was that an option? What was the mechanic there that's like, all right, if you want to hang out with this dude, you can't be immortal anymore.
Well, because elves knew that their power was going away. Their power was going to be gone. That was the whole trilogy. The elves are very somber about the mission, you know, and like the fellowship and everything like that. Because if the mission fails, then mission failed. We'll get them next time. Then they're all going to die. Like, they're all going to be taken over by darkness and everything. If the mission succeeds, then they will no longer be immortal. They'll have to, you know, move on into the next plane of existence, basically. So if she were to stay behind with Aragorn and everything like that, because basically her father was trying to get her to go out west and leave this plane, go to Valinor and everything like that. And she was like, nah, fam, I'm going to stay here. And then he was sad because that could mean, you know, either that she gets killed by the dark forces that are building rapidly, or that she dies of old age because, mm-hmm. you know, all the elven rings that granted them their magical powers will be gone.
That's okay. Yeah, I forgot it was tied to the ring. Okay. Yeah.
Yep. All the rings were tied and got their power from the one ring. And so as soon as the one ring is destroyed, all the other rings also lose their power. Mm. So that was where the elves no longer had their magical immortality.
Ooh.
Ooh, watch out. But yeah, no, they were immortal. And also, yeah, why, like, when the elves came to Helm's Deep to fight alongside the men, it was mm-hmm. a big fucking thing. Because when an elf dies in battle, that's an immortal life wasted. Like, it's fucking brutal. Like,
It's kind of weird that for as much as elves have disseminated across pop culture, the whole shtick of the elves in The Lord of the Rings is that they're not immortal anymore, but that's how they're almost always depicted everywhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but yeah, but that's the whole point of Lord of the Rings with J.R.R. Tolkien and everything like that, is that it's just a cautionary tale for his experiences in World War One.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally the whole book. Like, right. The experiences with World War and how that works out and how men are fucking shitty and like terrible to each other and will always be terrible to each other. And like, especially, yeah, like how like machinery and everything like that, because he saw the great leap forward in technology in World War One and how tactics had not gotten to that level yet. So you still saw people blowing whistles and saying charge into a fucking just straight line of machine gun fire, like, that no one would survive from, because they didn't understand how to deal with that tactically yet. So he saw this development of machinery and basically viewed it as the devil. Like, that's literally his version of evil, is the development of machinery and like the progression of technology with mankind, which is obviously a very slanted, one-sided view of technology, but you can understand how he would develop that with his experiences.
So you're saying my steampunk Lord of the Rings AU fanfic might not scan.
J.R.R. Tolkien will be rolling in his grave. The idea of a steampunk crossover with Lord of the Rings literally would kill him again. It would revive him so that he could die again. But yeah, so then the whole central theme is, yeah, that like, oh, there's this magical world that has like beings that are able to live in harmony and everything like that. And now that age is ending and turning into the age of men, which is just going to be, where we live now with all of our death and destruction and hunger and prejudice and terribleness. So
fucked it up, guys.
We fucked it up, but also we didn't die due to, you know, the fucking embodiment of Satan killing everyone, you know. I guess it's something. It's a living. Literally.
Cleared it with a 75%. That's a passing grade, technically. Good job.
Yeah, it's a perfect representation of the human race, right?
Mm.
Cleared it with 75%.
All right, and we are about 75% of the way through this podcast, so it is time for a clap sync and a move on to the wacky post roll.
It's a quote on Martin Luther King Day. Oh my God, it's an MLK quote. I don't like an MLK quote on April Fool's Day.
That is, you have an agenda, I'm starting to realize, and I don't like it.
The quality, not the longevity of one's life is what is important. So if you read that with an April Fool's lens, it's the longevity, not the quality of one's life is what's important.
I'm living bad, but I'm living forever.
Yeah. I will live to be 130 years old. I will hate every waking second of it, but...
I just saw this the other day. The famed author Beverly Cleary passed away.
Aw, I remember her.
She was like 110.
Fuck me. Really?
Yeah.
I guess that makes total sense when you do the math of like when she was writing books and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fucking Beesus and Ramona was written in 1955.
Christ.
A lot of the Ramona books were, in the 50s and 60s. That's fucking wild. You're right. She died like a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
She was 104. 104. I mean, still insane.
That, right?
She was born before World War I.
Jesus. She was alive long enough to realize her books would stand the test of time.
Yeah, it's like a reverse Vincent Van Gogh, right?
Uh-huh.
Like you lived long enough to not only see your books become successful, but also become classics that will be like always a part of children's development. That's really cool. Wow. Well, fucking good on you, Beverly, clearly. Unless she got canceled, too, for something.
Oh, boy. What's that Wikipedia page?
Are we trying to cancel Beverly Cleary? Just looking for anything?
Okay, no, I don't see a controversy section in her contents. So I think
she's not notably a TERF. Like, yeah. That was where I kind of thought she might end up landing.
Right.
Just like popular... otherwise progressive woman author.
Mm-hmm.
The trap she could easily fall into would, yeah, be TERF. So, not publicly at least.
Okay.
Fucking right. Wild.
Life.
Life it is.
All right, that'll about do it for the 253rd episode of the Quarantine Cast. If you liked what you heard, please remember to like, comment, subscribe, etc. Email voluntaryviewing@gmail.com for questions and business opportunities. @V2_podcast is our Twitter. Please follow us there for updates. Check us out on Patreon if you feel like getting any of the great rewards we have there, as well as making us able to keep doing this. Actively linked is in the description down below if you'd like to help a collection of great progressive causes. And please follow me @LucasDeRider on Twitter for, my writing and a bunch of other nerdy stuff. Don't be fooled, but good luck out there, because people are trying to do that to you.